today, ZGP Power Hour number 163, we're talking turbos and superchargers, and which one's better?
Yes.
Before we get to that, feature product this week, Bo, go ahead and talk about that little piece there.
Well, a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago now, we came out with a aluminum vacuum tree. These are pretty hard to find. Normally, you just got to go to the junkyard and get one. And they're plastic. They love to break. They're on top of the supercharger, just getting baked with heat for 20 years. And then you go to pull your brake booster hose off, and the whole thing comes off with it. And you're like, ah! And then, or you just got a vacuum. Like, maybe you're just dressing up the engine bay. We came out with an aluminum one. So this one is a whopping 7 millimeters shorter.
Shrunk down.
For additional hood clearance.
So you can run those big intercoolers and those Ram Air hoods.
Yep,
and
I made a little teaser on the 3800 performance page. If you're not on it, join it. About
there might be a reason.
There might be a reason you need a little more hood clearance, Bill Kish.
Bill Kish, you're gonna need this.
You're gonna need what's coming down the pipe, big boy. but yeah,
cool
piece. We got some other bling blings coming out for the M90. I just love we're still tinkering.
I know. It's great.
It's a good thing.
And we just got two things today.
Yeah.
That we got to test them.
We're very excited about some other stuff that bolts to your M90 that we're going to be bringing to you. A couple years ago, we didn't have the support we did for like dressing up an M90. You know, because you know, as car guys, we love the accessories.
Oh,
we love having the options. Being able to buy the bolt kit. Being able to buy stuff like this. You know, a metal replacement vacuum tree and, you know, some other stuff we're working on, just like really tinkering on this M90. It leads right into our supercharger versus turbo podcast. The more trinkets we come out for these M90s, the more and more I want one again. And I'm a turbo boy. You know, I came into ZZP straight supercharger guy, sitting next to these guys. I'm like, there's no way I'm taking an M90 off my car, dude. I'm going to do an XP cam. I'm going to do a Gen 5. And then I did the turbo, and I'm like, this is where it's at, you know? And then now.
But a good blower, like sitting, especially on a 3800 or an LSJ, right there in front, like you get it clean looking. It looks pretty cool.
It's always surprising, you know, for as far as aesthetics go, the turbo in the Buick's hood, like you pop the hood, you're like, oh geez, there's a turbo in there. That's cool. But at the same time, like you said, man, that big centerpiece, dressed up, painted the right color, little baby pulley on this side, big old throttle body on this side, 4-inch intake pipe, like
something about it.
Yeah, and you can't beat the whoop whoop.
Yep. Gotta give a shout out as well to Mr. Tender Juicy, who in the chat is, I still can't say it.
A.K.A.
Oh.
A.K.A. TKD Boy.
Yep. But he came and picked up his car
today.
Oh, man,
I didn't pick a fight with him when he was here today. Could get beat up by him.
He was kind of jacked.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, like, you see his shoulders? That's it. TJ's shoulders are amazing.
But he dropped us off a nice little gift of some single barrel whiskey that we're enjoying in our old fashions. But before we get heated and the gloves get put on, my feature product today are these two little guys. Little small mods. Like, I don't even know what I sell them for. $15? Something like that. But these are our progressive bump stops, and these go in your coilovers. Your coilovers come with bump stops, but they are quite small. They're about that big, and they're pretty tough. So these are obviously quite a bit taller. And while they feel tough when you have the full weight of a car coming down on them, they get progressively stiffer as you go through the travel of the damper. And what that equates to is one of the biggest complaints with coilover cars is when you hit a bump, you get that smack. And a lot of times that is because you have to play with spring rates to make them enjoyable on the street, but then obviously still give you some of that corner carving that you like. But it's typically you hitting the bump stop, and when you hit this will slowly squish down instead of a big hard boom. So anybody who's tracking their car, or really anybody who buys coilovers, you're going to enjoy those. Yeah. And
you get a little bit more stability, maybe a little less back impact.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, when you're flying down a back road like me and the girlfriend's in the passenger seat, and you grab that bump on accident, wow! she might not get as mad.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
As mad.
And it's kind of cathartic getting your brand new coilovers, and you got to disassemble them to get those in.
Bit of work
to like
bit of work.
You get to tinker, and it's another cool thing.
Yeah, you're like, I am race car.
Yep. Marcus Wainwright is in here. He's got a TVS LSJ S10 that he autocrosses, which is pretty killer. But I know, obviously, right now I'm Team Blower Boy, but I will say, on the turbo side, we got an S258 SXR in the house, which is BorgWarner's new and the new hotness, and I am really excited for that, because on the compressor map, it gives you another 100 horse worth of air that it'll flow, and it fits right into the S257 turbine housings. I'm excited.
Yeah, we'll Ecotec, see where it takes us. Ecotec guys, and then you're really going to want it for sure. You know, you're running our full swap kit on an LNF or an LSJ.
Or
our full swap kit coming down the pipe for a certain other 2-liter we got in the catalog. So
might be going on a certain blue car for some testing.
Certain very fast single digit 4-cylinder Camaro.
Yeah, might be that one.
Yeah,
might be that one.
Yep.
So we'll AB it. We'll try and back up BorgWarner's claims, and if it's anything like they say, it's going to be the new hotness. It's going to be the new hotness.
Absolutely.
Maybe Bo will finally put a different turbo on his Buick.
I told Matt I wanted to try it on the Buick, and he says, you want to spool it idle? I said, uh-huh.
Yep.
I don't need to even rev it past 6,000 RPM. Just give me like 3 to 6, 20 PSIs.
Oh, you can run more than that.
Last time I did. Yeah. Last time I did.
Those injectors were screaming, and maybe rods were too.
What do they say? Rods left the chat.
Yep. Rods left the
Uncle
chat.
Rodney left.
Yeah, what was his injector duty cycle at? Like 110?
No, 99. That's the joke, because it's not 100.
It's not 100.
Oh, man.
Which we all know 99 is 100. Yeah. So.
Anything past 85 is kind of 100. But one thing that I wanted to bring up here, because a lot of people ignore this, and you probably can't tell in the chat, but these are the efficiency maps for the M62 and the M90 blowers. Pretty cool, reads similar to a turbo compressor map, but what a lot of people don't know is the peak boost for peak efficiency on an M62 is 7.5 PSI.
Tyler, why don't you talk about the chat about, like, I know we can't really see it right now. Why don't you talk about how to read a compressor map? Because I would say a very large majority of people do not know how to actually look at a compressor map. They see a bunch of circles.
Yeah.
Essentially. So why don't you go over just, you know,
so
for that.
It's a little different on a blower. But very similar in that you have efficiency islands here, and as you progress with your boost, which goes up, it's measured in pressure ratio typically on a compressor map, but you've got your little efficiency islands. So you've got inlet flow here, and then on a turbo, that's going to be your airflow out the other way. But basically, this dark blue area is where the blower is most efficient, which means it's going to make the least amount of heat. Now, on the M62, the peak efficiency is 68%. So that's basically power in, you know, air in, air out, how much power you're making. As you go up, you lose efficiency, which means you're making more heat.
It doesn't necessarily mean that you're making less power.
Yeah,
it's just you're becoming less efficient.
Yeah. Yep. It's
But basically, you have to look at that graph and you have to determine how many pounds of boost you're at and how much power you're making.
Yeah.
And then you can plot out where you're at in the efficiency of that power adder, I guess you would say, in this case. And, you know, turbos have them, you know, superchargers have them.
Mm-hmm. Most of our customers like to be up here somewhere.
Yeah.
We should add these to the modular pulley page.
Then we wouldn't sell any.
I do like that idea.
Like, why can't we be up here? Well, you see, it's just a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, as you get less efficient, you're turning that energy into heat more often than you would be at the lower or at the higher efficiency parts.
So as you're cranking your boost up, you have to keep continually upgrading your intercooling system.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, better intercooler so you can, like, knock that temperature down, which is nice because the more you knock that temperature down, the denser the air is, so mm-hmm. the less boost that you have. Because boost is only a measure of restriction. Mm-hmm. If you were filling twice the engine size, you're going to have, I don't know, let's just say half the boost.
Yeah.
Depending on, you know, how the flow is, of course, but...
And now this is a big detriment to a supercharger is, especially on an air-to-air turbo car, you're not typically dealing with, you know, IATs that are, north of 120 even. You know, in a stock intercooler setup on, say, an LTG, the manifold temps go way up, but that's placement. But with an M90 and an M62, you always have to play that game of, okay, yeah, I could drop a pulley size, and I might make a little more peak power and a little more torque, but is it worth it? You know, what are you doing? We always talk about you have to have a plan for what you want to do with the car. If it's a one-pull thing, then you're probably okay.
And I'm glad you said the one-pull thing. If you're going to put it on the dyno and do one gear of full throttle, you're going to make more power with that pulley size that's 0.1 smaller, let's say.
Yep.
But if you're going to go on a road course and you're going to rip this thing every straightaway,
or if you're
like,
on the street.
Holy crap, man. Drop that pulley size like a whole bunch.
Raise it.
You know? Raise it.
Sorry. raise the pulley size a whole bunch.
Well, it's one of those things that come with, you know, as we all know, blowers take power to make power because mm-hmm. it's drawing upon the actual drive system of the car. The 3800 is actually one of my favorite things to talk about when it comes to this because it actually puts a point in turbos, you know.
Yeah.
I haven't got enough alcohol in me yet, so I'm not pushing Ryan agendas quite yet. But,
Well, it's the amazing thing, and also why I am on the turbo team because, you know, when I switched the Regal from a Gen 3 M90 to the turbo, the car ran like a 14.2 on the Gen 3.
Yeah, that's funny.
Car ran like a 14.2 on a Gen 3, and on the exact same boost level, it went in a 12.2 on the turbo.
And that's kind of what I want to just talk about, just so our customers will kind of see what the point we're trying to make with all this. Like, and I want to use injectors. Let's talk about injectors for a while. A 60 pound injector or a 42 pound injector, which it was just 42, just mm-hmm. keep across the board on a 3800 car. You can make you're on an intercooler doing all this stuff on 42s and you're making, you know, 11, 12 pounds of boost. Now, let's say you're making at that level, you're making like 300, 320 horsepower, maybe, you know, whatever you're making at that power level that. But suddenly you take that blower off and all of a sudden you put a turbo on there, run the same boost level, kind of like Bo was just saying. And all of a sudden, you're making like 80 horsepower more, and the ejector duty cycle goes way down.
On an LSJ, an 80-pound ejector on E85 will take you to about 300 wheel. Mm-hmm. That's about all you're going to get out of that injector. You throw a turbo kit on, like our entry-level turbo kit, that same injector can take you to 400.
Yes.
Yeah. And the reason behind that is the engine's actually making the power.
Yeah.
It's just
the rods and pistons are making the power.
Uh-huh. It's just
just not seeing it.
Yeah, you're taking that same power to make it through the parasitic loss of a blower.
Well, and one thing cool that Zoom always talks about is we used to have a supercharger dyno, and didn't it take 100 wheel worth to spin the blower?
I believe they had an 80 horse electric motor to power it, and they still couldn't spin the blower to the same RPM that Zoom's car did.
Mm-hmm.
Which is insane.
That's incredible.
Like, if obviously
that's why the Regal picked up 2 seconds. It was up 100 wheel.
Like, don't get me wrong, I think blowers they sound cool. It is really cool to hear the whine when you're going down. So you're like, after days of taking my son to school, Tim Cooling, like, we go the same route. So I hear, weep.
Oh,
that sounds really cool.
It does sound cool.
They sound cool.
They intercool a lot better, too. That's my other thing is, you know, we're back to your compressor map thing and all the IETs that a blower creates. You're able to run an air-to-air intercooler very easily on a turbocharger.
Yeah.
And on most applications, at least mine, 3800-wise, we're like 5 to 10 degrees above ambient. Which is incredible.
Yeah, that's great.
IET sensor is mounted above the exhaust crossover and the turbo, so it's not in a very good location either. And that's just
a lot of the turbo cars that I remote tune, their MATs are below their IATs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tim, explain MAT and IATs for people.
So you have IATs, which is the temperature of the air that's entering the engine.
Intake,
like entering the turbo in this case.
Yeah.
So it's going to be above ambient because obviously your air box is not outside the car.
Yeah.
Yes. So let's say it's 70 degrees outside and your IATs are 85 degrees. Then you're
which is
running,
good.
You're that running is, that air. Yes. You're running that air through the turbo. The turbo's probably cranking it up to, I don't know, let's say that 85 degrees is 160 to 250 degrees.
It's probably closer to 400.
Then that air is flowing through the charge pipes, hits the inner core, and then the inner core is just a big radiator that hot air is flowing through, mm-hmm. and then it cools it down. And that 85 degrees ends up at 75, 80 degrees as it enters the actual engine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so IATs, once again, is intake air temperatures, MAT, yep.
manifold
air temperature.
Air temperature, actual temperature. So that is huge on these, pretty much every car that we're really dealing with these days.
So obviously, with either power adder, you have to create heat. It's a byproduct of
compressing air
and changing the energy. And a turbo still spits out hundreds of degrees of
hundreds.
Hot air.
Hundreds.
My
number is probably very conservative.
We did before and after intercooler testing on the drag car back when it was on maybe a Z04 or something else, 62, 58, something like that. And the air entering the intercooler was,
I thought it was four something.
It was four and some change. Like so 425 degrees.
Okay.
And then it was less than 100 coming out the other end. And that was with our little, I mean, it's bigger than stock, but the little Sonic intercooler.
Yeah.
You know, that's all of like this big.
That also shows how important like an air-to-air intercooler is. Like,
I
guys,
can't believe how efficient the air-to-air stuff
like
is.
I mean, like a full air-to-air is absolutely amazing for almost everything.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys all have like got up in the morning to go to work and it's like, you know, 25 degrees cooler than what it's going to be later in the day. And you punch your car and you're like, holy crap, my car feels so fast. Like, you know, cooler, denser air. I mean, intercooler does that. Like,
yeah.
And then you have a car like all the Regals, the ATS, which has a sandwiched, like they have like an AC condenser, your inner core, your radiator, like all these heat exchangers that are all heating up the air that's going through them. And then they're, you know, obviously removing heat from the fluids or, you know, medium inside it.
Yep.
So then you add like a ZZP front mount inner core, which puts the inner core in the front.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then it's huge.
Yeah.
Like I remember the Regal, our LHU Regal inner core, was like a 50 horse upgrade.
Yeah.
50 horsepower from taking the OEM heat exchanger intercooler out, throwing it in the trash, and putting our ZZP one in.
Well, because if you have to think about it too, because everything is sandwiched in between each other, it has this weird effect. So remember, essentially everything is heat is a form of heat exchanging.
Yeah. Yep.
Heat goes out, heat comes in. If you have all these things sandwiched between each other, guess what they're all doing? They're all passing the heat between each other.
Yeah.
So it's radiant heat, this one takes it. This radiant heat, this one takes it. And it's just constantly going back and forth. That's why the LHU and the ATS inner front mounts are that much. They are so important.
So big.
They are super huge on these cars.
They don't necessarily add horsepower to the setup, but they get you that horsepower back that is truly making.
That's given up
by
compressing air and heating that air up. And like the Cobalt LNF Cobalt like comes with a front mount intercooler and it performs fairly well.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, as we increase the boost, you need a larger heat exchanger to like pull that extra heat out. And, you know, when you're taking a LNF Cobalt that makes like 260 horse stock and then you're putting a tune on it, and Matt puts this tune on it that gives you like 100 freaking horsepower. Like it's unbelievable how much a 1.0 tune gives an LNF Cobalt.
Totally different car.
Yeah.
Like,
well, best car.
The other thing is just before we move off the whole sandwiching thing, you have your AC condenser in the front, like on an ATS in stock form. What happens when you turn your AC on in the summer? Your engine coolant temps go through the roof.
Oh yeah.
It's doing the same thing to your IATs.
Yeah.
It's just transferring all that AC condenser heat right into it.
And that's why also the LNF is, again, magical, because where the fan placement is, it's right next to the intercooler. So if you guys get a 1.0 file from us, like a standard LNF Pro PCM, Matt keeps the fans running.
Like all the time.
It does massive work.
Yeah.
Like massive work, you know. So I know, guys, obviously the podcast is about superchargers and turbos, and we're going to get back to the more versus which one, but in both of these setups, whether it be a centrifugal blower, whether it be a root style blower, whether it be a turbo,
centrifugal is a whole different thing.
You know, like that is, and your intercooling system is arguably the most important system
absolutely.
In a boosted vehicle.
Absolutely.
Yes, yeah. Like Tyler said, the blower, you're not going to bolt on an intercooler, do a pull, and gain 50 horsepower.
Yeah.
But if you're on the street beating it like 99% of you guys are who are trying to halfway charge your car
and
stuff.
And think about it. You know, most dudes are running around, and superchargers are great for like stoplight to stoplight stuff. You're doing your pull, and then you pull up to your next stoplight, and then you sit there, and it gets hot again.
Oh, yeah.
And so while your first pull might have been really good, 3 or 4 stoplights later, if you're out
mobbing with your buddies,
yeah. It's starting to pull timing. It's getting hot. It's just, you know,
how much time does LSJ pull when once it gets over certain degrees?
Well, so it depends on how you've got it set up. But there's 2 options. I can pull boost back with the boost solenoid over a certain temperature. So I have it in most of my tunes, 180 degrees. It'll pull boost to 50%, and I do it at 50% so people notice.
Yeah.
That like, oh crap, this thing is down on power. And then they might write in and be like, oh yeah, it was out last night and it was really
doing 160 mile an hour,
yeah,
you know,
like, well,
top gear.
That's why. Yeah. But then you can also modify the timing, and you know, when in my files, once you start to get over 165, it'll pull a degree and then it'll pull 2, and then when you really get up there, it'll start to pull like 4, 5, 6. Which basically, you know, blower cars are just kind of, think of them as NA engines.
Yeah.
You know,
they're NA engine with air being forced into them, essentially.
But, and that's one of my points on why I really like blower cars, is they do drive like an NA car.
Yeah.
You know, it's like having that extra displacement on your side. And you know,
no lag.
Yeah. No lag, which is,
it's hard to say no lag when, it's hard to say. I agree with the no lag thing, but it's hard to say no lag when an LSJ on a Z54 makes more torque at 4,000 RPM than it does on a blower.
Yeah.
great point, Bob.
Everyone always says, I love the instant torque of a blower.
Guys, we have 4 cylinders. Like, properly. The only one that can talk about that is the 3800, guys, essentially.
Yeah.
So guys, so that's another point. Ryan Deere's got a little alcohol in him now. So, you LSJ guys out there, and this kind of is directly shooting at you guys. Not a negative shot, but everyone's like, I'd like the instant blower. I like the instant, you know, torque of it. You guys aren't making instant torque. You just hear the blower first.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, literally, you are not making that much torque.
They make more torque for, like, 1 second.
One second.
The thing is, you drive a turbo LSJ around here, and then you hop in, like, our shop supercharged car, and you're revving it up.
Oh, you have to.
You're like, driving the heck out of it. Instead, you get in the turbo LSJ, and you're just like half pedaling
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything you need.
I mean, my blue car makes 215 pound-feet of torque.
So you're making
that
much torque.
And the Z54 Ion made 400.
Yeah, literally
double.
I remember. So back in the day, I was just gonna say
with boost, that unfortunately is a little different because you're running a stock pulley, but in most applications, it's very comparable.
Yeah.
Now I do have to say though, like I do actually have a supercharger. Like I always forget it, but I actually have a supercharger.
Oh yeah, you do.
What car?
My Dune truck.
It's parked down on 28th Street.
That car doesn't count.
My F-150 has a twin screw blower on it, and I do like blowers still. I still love blowers, but that's a totally different application.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that's a dune truck. So I want to do burnouts. I want to stab the throttle and have instant like connection to the tires.
How big is this engine, too?
It's a 5.4.
Yes, that's
5.4 with a twin screw blower.
That,
you know,
it's almost 3 times LSJ.
I would not put a turbo on that truck. Would not. Like, the blower is the way to go. Would it make more power with the turbo? Of course.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, there's nobody on the planet that's going to argue against that. But for my power delivery that I want, I like the blower. Now, pretty much every other car, like, I'm pretty much going to have a turbo on it. However, I did do a Bonneville build a few years ago, and I did keep it supercharged. Uh-huh. So I still appreciate a good M90.
Yeah.
Like, especially now with our darn equalizer. Like, oh, an equalizer M90 build.
It's a little early in the podcast to probably say this, but I think ultimately you need both. You need both.
Ew.
You truly do.
Ew, no.
I mean, if it's a...
When you say both, like two cars, one with each, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking you're talking about twin charge. I'm like, ew. No. I will fight you.
You, like, for me, it's been worse than ever. I need another 3800 with a blower.
Yeah.
Because you do. You need both.
You just need to hop in and listen to it and get the feels, you know?
Okay, hear me out. The blower whine is okay. For all you that are going, blower whine sounds better. You're wrong. I'm sorry. But, like, it's one of those things that it does sound cool. You know, it does sound cool for that little bit. But so back in the old Cobalt SS.net days, people were like, oh, the TVS has a way better, you know, mid-range and way more torque and all that. And I remember ZZP posted a dyno chart displaying the torque and power band between an S252 and a TVS blower.
Oh, yeah.
Guess which one made a heck of a lot more torque?
Yeah.
And it wasn't the blower. No, it made boost sooner. It made way more torque, and it held out all the way to red line. Guess what that blower's not doing? None of those things.
Yeah.
And especially on a TVS, that boy's getting hot. I love the idea of the TVS, but most people don't execute it.
Correct.
Correctly.
You got to do it in a very specific way.
You have to do everything.
Well, that's where I was going with this. Is Tim and I were just talking about earlier this week about Bill Kish's build. Is it's really fun to have that restriction.
Yeah.
Like that. Let's say that we're going to work with the M90 or the M62, and we want to make big power. So the fact that you have this makes you have to touch and tinker with everything else. Really makes for an extremely fun project.
Yeah.
And it's also like it puts you at a level playing field with a ton of other guys that are super relatable, which you can't go wrong with. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't need to.
Bill Kish said you have to.
I'm not pouring anything. If some pours in my cup, then that's what it is.
But so, it's in my hand.
Oh, darn.
Thanks, TJ. We're going to have that polished off today. You know, it makes a level playing field and it's super fun. There's, you know, like, just like everybody, we love records and the micro records to an extent. And like,
are we talking about micro records now? Don't give me
well, just like, the M60 or the M90 is the king of micro records.
That is true.
Everybody
y'all 300 dude.
I made this much power on an M90.
I got the fuel. S1X M90 Gen 5. Well, I got the S1X M90 Gen 3 record. You know what?
What about the red two-door record?
Yeah. I'm not going to go on that thing just yet. I'm not going. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
That's about all I got, man. It's super fun to have a project based around that and go down that road and commit to it and really put in the time and the effort of making it very powerful in
work. All right. So here's
– it's kind of like the 1.4. Like, you know, you got this little baby 1.4.
Yeah.
And it's – kind of sucks but it's a lot of fun to make power with because you're working with this limitation and it's way more, you get way more like satisfaction when it
goes
you get the results.
Like, we've built a company based on limitations.
Yeah, that's
like all these non-V8 cars, like a 1.4 Sonics and Cruises and 3.8 liter Grand Prix, Bonnevilles, Park Avenues, Regals. Like, it's GM's underdog. Like, we've developed a whole company based on GM underdog cars. Like, my Bonneville, I love that Bonneville. It made 360 wheel with very minimal mods, honestly. Like, not a lot of mods. Nice. I just did, like, the key stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, and I have to say, like, you know, Mike put up the blower whine versus turbo noise. What sounds better? I loved my Bonneville. Gen 5 blower, 4,000 stall torque converter. Holy crap, was that thing fun. Would it be faster with a Z3 turbo kit on it? Yeah.
Yeah.
With a Z3 turbo kit?
It's tough. I don't know.
It's a tough call.
Oh my god!
I like them both. I like them both.
They're just different flavors.
If you put like mine had headers on it, but because we didn't sell the equalizer,
yeah.
But a 360 plus wheel horsepower Gen 5 blower build with an equalizer on it,
ooh,
versus a Z3 turbo car. Like, I don't know what one sounds better.
I can't answer. An obnoxious
screaming blower.
Yeah.
It's the one reason I so wish I had a Cobra Mustang.
I meant
Terminator.
Yeah. Oh, with the 03 Cobra? Terminator Cobra? Yes.
I hate to say, the blowers.
Bo, don't make a mistake.
When I'm out around town, I'm the flyby guy. Like when I go by my buddy's house, you got to drop it a gear.
Of course.
The M90 did better flybys.
Yeah.
The Grand Prix.
Yes.
No, the only reason not because your wastegate opens up at like one PSI.
Even non kill with open wastegate, the M90 still did better flybys.
Yeah. That 6262. When you had that thing on kill with a cam in that car, you heard that thing spool up before the wastegate opened. Holy moly. So.
It's tough, but I think the M90
y'all want to know a torque monster?
Would snap more necks. When you hear that thing.
Okay, that's fair.
Can't not look.
Yep.
So y'all want to know a real torque monster? Put a KO4 on the LSJ. Then they make not quite LNF torque, but they still make.
What about some a torque. KO4 on an LE5 car? We
still do that. And it's still crazy month. They make like 390 with like 250 horsepower.
So we had a former employee who got our first KO4 entry level kit on his 2.4 car.
Yep.
And it made 500 foot pounds of torque.
Tell me more about your bullets. So someone asked earlier.
3,800 numbers.
Yeah.
Someone asked earlier about LE5.
I think it actually made 280,500.
Yeah, it did.
We should have entered it in truck pulling competition. Yeah.
So
I blew that 2.4 up pretty quick.
I forget who was saying it, but guys, so yeah, the blower still on a 2.4 makes a little more torque, more than LSJ, obviously. Still not massive amount, as much as you would think it would. Turbo still going to a properly sized turbo.
Oh, absolutely.
Small, will still make more torque.
As far as numbers go, you cannot argue against a turbo.
It's... Mike, scroll up real quick. There was somebody I wanted to address, and I think it was somebody. It's a very good turbo. Yeah, Cotton. The sun smack of a torque from a turbo can be a mess for the track, and that I think is a great talking point. So, it possibly can be.
Yeah.
Yep.
If you size your turbo incorrectly for what you're doing.
For what you're doing. Yes.
But. That's the difference in a blower versus a turbo setup. Because, okay, let's use an LNF KO4. Stock turbo comes on it. That thing's a torque monster. You're going to be all over the goddamn road.
Oh, yeah.
But on a Z54?
You can have a nice
flat pull torque curve, but you're going to get a little bit of lag of that. So that's where it comes to balance. So, yeah, if you, depending on the cubes that you're running with, whether you're running a 5.6, 5.7 or a 6.2 or whatever you're having on there versus that, like it all goes back to a proper setup.
Yeah.
If you're going on a, for instance, at the drag strip, that you want that instant.
Yeah, you want that.
That's what you want to
do. You want that 60 foot. You want it now.
You
want
to get out of the hole and want
to
keep going.
Really easy to do with a turbo, which Tim and I both struggled for all year, is it's way easy to turn it up too far.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, when you're out on the track, you're like, you know, we're like, for me, like 18 pounds, let's go hit this autocross. I got so much power. Tim's like, I'm on like 24 pounds on this KO4. Let's hit this autocross. And then all we do is just, and then you're like, oh, lift, stop spinning, turn in, and then it spins out again. And then it's like, man, you just like show up with half the boost
and you're fine.
And you run seconds faster.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so easy to just turn the dial up on the turbo.
But I'm so glad you brought that up because that is like with my Sonic at like 23 pounds of boost, like what would happen is it would annihilate the tires.
Uh-huh.
It would finally catch up, but it's time to brake.
Yeah.
But I'm like, but no, I just got hooked up.
Yeah,
like, so you stay on it a little too long and then you have to late brake and you blow your turn and it's just like, yes. So I agree.
It's easy to overdo it. It makes it way easier.
But
to
then
overdo
that goes like, so at the drag strip, obviously, instant torque is great. In a road course situation, it's even different than an autocross situation.
Oh, yeah. Like an autocross with a small turbo,
It's magical. Yeah. Well, depending on how small depending, it is.
Yeah. But yeah, like a road course, you know, you probably want that later power in the RPM band.
Yeah. And you want that idle corner speed depending on what you're trying to do in your driving style. So,
Like another thing, like I'm trying to fight this blower fight. I'm trying so hard.
Yeah.
But Ryan has so many points. Like on a track, a turbo is so much more efficient.
Way better.
Oh, it's going to put out a lot less heat.
Yep.
And that's heat that you don't have to like pull back out of the air. Yeah. It's a blower car, you're going to have to downshift more than a turbo car.
For sure.
A turbo car, you're going to be able to be a gear up and then just torque
third
your
gear
way
will
out
pull
of it.
You like, out.
Yeah. And imagine,
you know, but in LSJ,
on a blower,
man,
though, you're going to grab second.
LSJ.
Road Atlanta in a blower car versus a turbo car, versus that real long back straight, your heat soaking like crazy. So, guys, even at the track, for a quarter mile pass, CTSV guys with their blowers, with the LSAs, they are constantly changing ice between each and every one.
Oh yeah, yeah. So,
man, big boss man is in here.
Run my N90 against a turbo Grand Prix.
Can I say grab a lane with my ATS?
He said turbo GP.
Oh, turbo GP. All right, Matt's car versus his car. Seems like a fair deal. That's all he's saying.
I don't know. We made Zoom's car fat, so.
To Zoom's argument.
Bo made Zoom's car fat, remember?
He's going to be up here in 2 seconds. Don't look at him. Why are you
Hey, don't
at Bo?
Say that. I did not make it fat.
Bo said so.
No, you didn't. Huh?
Boss said so.
Yeah, that's fine.
He's going to be through that door in about 4 seconds. I'm going to have to go because he's going to be up here, but you know.
It's funny he brings this up because my Regal's best time in a comparable setup with a comparable tire is the exact same time and mile an hour that I ran in his car.
Yeah, because you took Zoom's car to a street car takeover 3 years ago.
In street, Tim on a 200 treadwear tire, it went 11.7 at 124.
I hear that coming.
And then the Regal went last year in full street trim. It ran 11.7 at 124. I've never been faster in a car in my life. Yeah. And it's been the same time with Zoom's car full tilt and my car full tilt. So, I mean, his argument stands that it's pretty tough. It's pretty tough. Granted, could we make a faster turbo car like Matt's? Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
But side by side,
my
car and Zoom's car run the exact same time.
Now, I would be interested if the engine setup was the same between the two. Because intercept is slightly different.
Yeah. I mean, Zoom's car is a max effort blower car.
Yeah.
Versus Titanium Bo's car is not really a max effort.
It was a moderate effort.
The time I ran the 11.7,
it
was pretty max effort for a Z3 turbo.
For a Z3 kit, but that would be a max effort turbo car. Would be a Statima kit with an E85 and an ST5 cam and all that other stuff. And aluminum heads.
That was ST2 cam, L36 block, 20 pounds, E85. It was pretty optimized. Like as far as
for a Z3 kit, yeah.
As far as you, it probably made 500 of the tire.
Yeah.
Possibly, yeah.
You know, and Matt could do the math based on the weight. It was probably making more than 500 of the tire, which is the reason why the block scattered. But
yeah.
Yeah, Zoom's car's fast.
It's fast.
Hell,
it's fast.
It makes 420, and it's fast.
That goes to like a blower car. The power band's great for it. It's a very meaty NA style power band. It's kind of
the 369 gears in it are ridiculous too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I mean that's a really good point for a supercharger. Is you need the gearing.
Yeah,
you really need the gear.
Yeah, the gear.
Who's gonna light these centrifugal people up?
Now, Tim, I saw it.
Like I
See,
keep
guys,
you,
Tim, hey,
stop saying centrifugal.
Nope. Let's get the middle ground. I'm here for it.
No, dude.
Let's talk about centrifugal blowers.
I don't get Ryan Derrick fight heat in me until somebody says it's centrifugal.
I know. That's why I want. I'm ready to get the spice
they
going.
They are the dumbest.
They're the
they
dumbest
are
thing.
So dumb.
Okay. All right. So guys. Let's explain what a centrifugal blower is. Okay, let's
it's a belt-driven turbocharger.
It's essentially a belt-driven.
It's the worst of both worlds.
Yes. So the worst of both, but it does have some advantages.
If you want,
I want you to talk about some advantages.
If you want a dyno curve that looks like this, no power, and then you know, like a lot of power. And then you shift, and then it's no power, and then a lot of power. You're never in the power band.
No.
It's never doing anything good.
It's so doggy down low, so bad.
You have to have 369 gears. You have to have a 4,000 stall converter.
Yeah.
You have to have huge slicks in a fully track prepped car to run a fast time, because Matt Mekoff has done it.
Okay, yeah. On an
he
auto,
did it in a Monte Carlo, and he's run super fast times with a centrifugal blower, because a centrifugal blower is more efficient than a roots blower.
It is. Oh, yeah.
But it has a power band of this.
Well, it's very setup dependent. Like you say, you like on the VA guys, like the Corvette dudes do it all the time, and it sounds like a blow dryer ass style. I think it sounds cool
when they come through the pits and it's just,
you know,
all the bypass is open all the time.
But like I said, they are very setup dependent. Like you, like I said, you gotta have a good gear. You gotta have a big converter in it. You gotta do
it
all
is
this stuff.
Max effort, max money.
Yeah.
And the problem
is
there's a lot of guys that think it's cool to run it on a manual, which is the absolute worst thing you could ever do.
It really is.
Because you remove the torque converter that gets you into the power band, and you're directly driven into
engine speed.
You now have to use that terrible power band completely, because it's just.
Well, so you have your manual tranny centrifugal car. I thought it was hilarious. Remember when they came out with a Vortex supercharger kit for the Honda Civic?
For the Civics. Oh my God.
It's an 88,000 plus RPM engine, and they put a centrifugal blower on it, and it's a manual tranny. Like,
but that's why they didn't survive well in those markets, because they just never did well.
So it makes.
They can't.
I'm going to make up numbers now, because I don't remember what the numbers were on that car. But let's say at redline, it makes 15 pounds of boost.
Uh-huh.
And then you shift. Now it makes 9.
Or like 6. Less. Yeah. Like,
or less.
Because on a centrifugal, it's RPM dependent as hell. It is directly driven off the engine. So as your RPM increases, your boost increases.
Yes.
But that means that your whole time before you get to peak RPM, you're making less boost. Like,
it gives you, like, for on a dyno, it gives you the numbers of a turbo.
It does.
It will give you all the numbers.
At 7,000 to 9,000 RPM.
At your RPM peak,
it
will do that.
How often are you actually
there?
We're
always talking about usable peak power under the curve.
Yep.
Like, average power.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and, you know,
average power is huge. Yeah. It is really huge. Like, unless you're making that, like, and this is why I love turbo 300.
Is that it?
So much. No, I made a mistake. I'm sorry.
I like
it's the alcohol.
I like my power band as flat as our brand new parking lot.
Yeah,
like
that's 11.7 is not max effort in my car.
Zoomer, I know it's not. I didn't say max effort in your reference, brother.
No, you're planning on running Zoom's car at a streetcar takeover this year, right?
We're going down. We're having a meeting after this about max effort in your
car. All right,
no,
hold on.
I love the max effort in your car.
Zoom got to get out the Tesla and drive his Grand Prix to race Bo.
This is great.
To back up Bo on this, and to re-quote Bo on this, like, Bo brought Zoom's car to Streetcar Takeover and ran it in total street trim.
We drove it there.
Like, it sits in our parking lot in the same trim.
Yeah. I was new here. And yeah. I go into Zoom's office. I'm like, Zoom, you think I could drive your Grand Prix to Streetcar Takeover? And he smiles. He goes, yeah. And I'm like, cool. And then so, like, I spent 2 weeks making it run good. You know, like, we didn't do anything. We didn't do anything to the car. I think the max effort reference was my car, which is, but we didn't do anything to it. We drive down there, and the dang thing runs faster than the Drag Sonic. It was like our best video of the year.
It was pretty fun.
I missed that.
Ryan, I see your comment saying there's plenty of people that dipped into 11s with 100 horsepower less than Zoom and 300. Brother, we were the ones that did that. That is us.
Zoom's car's been single digits.
It's been single digits before.
No. He was referring to the Moose on, like, kill mode. That's why he said should have ran the Moose on a real tire.
100%.
If you look
at the mile an hour of 124,
you should have been way faster.
And 3,700 pounds, my car and Zoom's car in that exact same trim is basically 10-second capable on a 15-inch tire with a 20.
But that's what you were saying is you drove it there on the same tires that you ran it down. Yeah, 200 tread wear isn't.
I'm
going to
say now,
trip.
Max effort, like, there's a difference in max effort, like a street max effort, in a actual ZZP max. Like if we want to actually try on stuff, you get Matt's drag car. If we want to try on stuff,
or
you
the drag Sonic.
You get the drag Sonic.
Yeah.
That is max effort. Yeah. But guys, like, there's a range we're talking about. We're talking about an actual max.
I want to circle back to something Bo said. With a blower car, you have to do everything outside of the blower.
Yes.
Because that is your limit. You can't, you can port the inlet and the outlet, which does help. But that's your limitation. Like, that is the one piece that is set in stone. From there, you do the heads, everything else surrounding that. It's hilarious how on any turbo car, it's just remove turbo, put bigger turbo on. Mm-hmm. Or, this AR on my turbine housing is a little small. I want a little more up top.
It's basically just valve springs, good fuel, and a turbo.
But seriously, back in the day, if someone would say to me, hey, I need the most budget-friendly L&F car to make the most power. I'd be like, all right, you get cams, you get valve springs, you do E85, you do a downpipe and a tune with GM Stage 1 sensors. There you go. Go out and be fast.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a dummy fast L&F.
That's 330 wheel. Probably. 320 wheel and, 400 foot-pounds of torque?
That will drag race. That will road course race.
That will autocross.
That will autocross.
That will whoop everyone at the stoplight. Exactly. It's pretty incredible.
Guys, Zoom brings up a good point. So chickens don't break hard parts as much.
Because they're slower,
They make no torque.
Obviously, when you're trying to drag race with a turbo, too, you're on the line, you're either on a converter or you're on the watt box or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's making a lot of torque.
You know what? I disagree, Zoom. Centrifugals still break. They break parts that nobody else breaks. Matt broke a pump shaft in a 4T65.
What?
Really?
Why? Because you have to shift a centrifugal at 7,000 plus RPM.
And on a 30,
and that breaks pump shafts.
That's too much.
Yeah.
So M90 still.
Plus you got M90 multiple
for the win.
Belts.
Yeah.
At least
you got
belt alignments and
tensioner on your drive.
Sassy, superchargers. Man, I will. You cannot tell me.
I will agree.
I will not. A L&F KO4. It may not have all the spoolie board noises, but you're getting. You want torque? You give me an L&F with a KO4. You get. Yeah.
400 plus foot pounds to the tires.
Anytime you want. You want to on the table on anybody right
with a 2 liter.
With a 2 liter, a DI 2 liter. Any day of the week.
I still think
that gets over 30 miles
an hour. Running around town in M62 is a little more fun.
It sounds cool. I'm not denying it. Remember, LSJ guys, I don't hate the LSJ. We just talk stuff about it. I think it sounds cool, but I remember my first time I had an LSJ, and I remember my second time, when I got the snow car. I got snow car, and I remember the 382 on the KO4. That was the most usable everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're
not wrong. I got usable, I would just...
Except for first gear.
No, even first gear on a stock KO4 non-tuned.
Oh, that's right. You had a...
I got my car brand new. Yeah, 382. Yeah. It's... I got to use first gear in a 405 LSJ. that's all you're doing. Yeah. 90% of the time.
I don't know. You don't make any torque, so you don't spin the tires.
You just have crappy tires. That's just what it is. So, I don't know, man. I do see the appeal of the blower.
It's mainly the noise, I think.
I think the noise is 90% of the people watching.
I have another argument.
Okay.
Especially on the 3800 and the LSJ. Because it came factory, it's more reliable. It's easier to service. It's easier to...
Because it makes less power.
Yeah, obviously.
But yes.
But
the blower itself is more reliable? Or just the whole drivetrain
The whole thing. Because... You swap
Blower's
in your turbo,
reliable.
You got to start tapping things, and you got to, you're...
We make it real easy,
We do, but you have to say, there's no oil, it's just like...
Any car in any stock form will be more reliable.
Agreed.
Because guess what's more reliable than those two, L&F or KO4?
You're just mad because it's a good point.
I'm changing the point.
It is a
stock car. When a stock
they
car,
they are easier to work on.
Yeah,
they
take
both...
off your blower takes 5 minutes. Take off a turbo, on an L&F?
Takes longer.
Takes longer.
That's true.
I mean, I would say a KO4 versus an M62 have the same reliability.
Correct.
They both get over 100,000 miles on them without...
In terms of stock, yeah, like, you're not touching them. Absolutely. But if you need to remove things, the M62 has an advantage.
Sazzy, Tyler said that because Tyler's an LSJ fanboy. He's not being realistic.
No, and
he just said it. He likes the blower wine more.
Myself, remember, I don't hate the LSJs. Had our Z54 Ion, which was an absolute blast.
Yeah, because you guys also turned it up way too much.
That's a problem with turbos. Like I said earlier, that's all you can
turn
do.
I will give you that. You can just turn the dial to make more power.
Yeah,
I'll give you that.
You know, that I'm really hung up on the fact that the blower is easier to work on in every way. We were doing some throttle body testing. I had to change the throttle body on the Regal. I'm like, God.
Yep. Just.
I love the.
And then we did a throttle body swap the other day on a customer car, and it was like, boop, boop, boop.
Yep.
I love the M90.
I don't disagree that they are going to be easier because you have a big chunk of heavy heat soaking metal. Right there. That's how you get that.
You're not wrong.
Boat, 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 and you're good.
I love the potential like you can gain like with a blower car. You cut the inlet off and like rework the inlet and port it and like port the outlet. Like there's a lot of stuff you can mess with on a supercharger too that makes it fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Ryan, you know me, like all my cars are turbo.
They're turbo cars, sure.
You know, my Regal, my ATS-V, my Sonic are all turbo cars, and I would never take a turbo off to put a blower on.
But the gearhead and Tim gets geeked when
But the gearhead, like Steve came into my office like months ago. I don't know what he's screwing around with on this, but he's talking about cutting the inlet of a Gen 5 off, and he's like porting the inlet and doing all this stuff like the V8 guys do with the superchargers.
Yeah, they just
and it's like
that whole
it's just rah. I'm just rah, and I'm like, yeah, let's talk about this, and I'm getting all geeked.
An admission.
That's fun.
There is something special about large displacement. And a blower.
Oh, yeah.
I think, like, the factory LT4 cars and stuff like that, if you had to give me a car, be like, hey, you cannot change the way this car makes boosts, I'm like, oh, we dropping pulleys today, boys.
Yeah.
So, we're making a conversation just for the fun and the entertainment, but I do like blowers. I think on small displacement cars, though, you have to have a turbo.
Yeah.
Like a properly sized turbo will outperform a blower in almost every way. Like a 3.6 and up, I can't say 3.6, a 3.6 ATS-V is a woof. That's a big boy. But like on a 3800, a blower is fun. Yeah. It can be, you put an intercooler around 12 pounds, the blower sounds good, it's winding down the street, it's making good power, it's doing everything you need it to do. Obviously, I think a turbo will still do better, but on a large displacement, anything.
It's certainly better because
certainly
you have
better.
That displacement to offset the power that it takes to run the blower.
Think about how we all, back in our street racing days, hey, we say, hey, man, that dude has an 03, you know, Terminator. You know, you better watch out. I'm like, woo, that's a big boy. You better come prepared.
Yeah,
you better come prepared and ready to shift every gear perfectly. If you run up on a 03, 04 Terminator set up with some good, with a good air-to-water setup, you best come real prepared,
man,
real
somebody
fast.
Somebody send me a good deal on a Terminator Mustang.
They're so
please
they're
send
30
me
grand now.
Yeah,
dude, yeah, they went way
you
back
might
up.
Might as well buy an ATS-V.
Yeah.
Gordon Barclay, the reason why turbo timers are not a thing anymore is because all turbos are water-cooled now.
Yeah,
pretty much.
If you had some weird turbo that was not water-cooled, that was purely oil-cooled, I would still say run a turbo timer on it to this day.
Yeah.
But yes, you are correct. Like, I've had so many eclipses. I've owned probably 4 or 5 different turbo timers in my life, and they're cool. They're cool,
Apex-y.
But like... But now that you have now that we have water cooled turbos, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. I'm gonna grab. Sorry, Ryan.
Go you for it. Go for
grab
it.
Grab a couple things here. Paul, good power numbers on a KO4 on an LSJ on E85. I expect 310 on E, but 330 torque.
Yeah.
So like
you're gonna make way more torque.
You're making 120 foot pounds more than you would on the M62.
We don't offer that kit anymore because it was so detrimental to the LSJ rods.
But Paul, you have a Goblin. Do not think about putting a KO4 on it.
No, and that's, no, Paul.
And that's part of the reason that we took that kit off is because of the way that it's all mechanical on the LSJ. There's no ECM boost control on a turbo car. So you're in fifth gear and you mash it a little bit, and you're going to make, you know, 400 foot-pounds, yeah. whatever it may be. But it's just not a enjoyable experience. Yeah. The LSJ is a peaky
it's
engine.
It's a peakier engine, for sure.
So something like a Z54.
Woo, perfect.
Woo, great.
So I do want to grab some. Also on the turbo timers things. So what we have to remember, too, is turbo technology has come leaps in bounds. Sure. Guys, think about like a 1980s turbo Trans Am. They made like 140 or 180 horsepower with a turbo on a V8. Now, factory turbo cars are making, like, with a tune, like 700-800 horsepower.
Think about, and you obviously know,
yeah.
the Snowball. That yeah. turbo is this big.
Yeah.
It guys, makes 600.
Not yeah. the inlet. The whole
thing. The whole thing.
Guys, I'm on a Zona Rota, and literally, the turbo is, this footprint is itty-bitty.
Oh, it's yeah. so
and
small.
And it spools fast, and it makes 600 all day, any day of the week. Like, it is insane what these modern turbos can do.
Like, current day turbos are like computers back in like the
Correct.
Early 2000s.
Yeah, the early
like, they're off. Just.
Oh, cell phones. One,
the next week, there's a new badass yeah. turbo. Yeah. Like that 258.
It's full circle. Hopefully, the 258 does exactly what
it needs to do. The same exact footprint can make 100 wheel more.
More. Correct.
And that's the 257 is a relatively small turbo.
Yeah.
But the fact that it can flow 70
more.
Pounds a minute.
That's huge, boys and girls.
That is crazy.
That's huge.
And that already is an amazing turbo.
Yeah.
yeah. I mean,
like, we're not talking HX40s.
Yeah. And so on that, too, some people, like, I get a few customers occasionally like, hey, man, I want to run this 20G. Ew. That's a 1990 turbo. Don't. It's trash. Throw it away. But Gordon, so most times in modern turbos, idling around gets the turbo cool enough. You can after you do a pull, if you idle for a minute, the turbos are you don't like if you go you do a pull immediately, shut the car off. Yeah, you're gonna get cocaine and stuff
in
there. But
let's just be real. You don't ever do pulls and just shut the car off.
Some people
regardless
do
of the turbo.
We've seen stuff.
You always gotta let
yeah.
it.
Yeah, let it cool down. Sazzy. You and me are going at it this time. You said superchargers are more unique. You know what else is more unique? An axe with a wooden head and a metal handle. And it's still just as useless. It's still just as useless. Like, I trust it. I get the unique thing, but there's a point where unique is not good.
Yeah.
Because I want to do unique. I want to do a crazy engine build, blah, 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 doing all that stuff. Yeah, you made a car you can't drive and it's useless now. Superchargers ain't unique. There are factory cars. Every LT4 CTS-V out there, there's a bunch of blower cars. And unique. Yeah, they're different than four-cylinders because, yeah, everyone's smarter. They don't do four-cylinder supercharged stuff. They twist the turbos. They want to go fast.
Yeah. Oh, you got yeah, but yeah, and on the TurboTech thing, you know, small displacement engines, TurboTech 15 years ago.
Different.
Totally different.
Massively.
Like, the fact that the LNF was that capable with a factory turbo back
in
then.
In 2008?
Yeah. Was
2007,
incredible.
2007, man. The
oh,
Kappa.
Yeah, the Kappa.
The Kappa.
The Kappa came
oh,
out, yeah.
my goodness.
It was pretty incredible. And now we've got 1.4s with a Z04 making
300.
Making 300, and it drives, especially a manual car.
Yeah, it drives normal.
Like how you would have wanted it from
yeah.
the factory.
Turbo technology, you guys have to remember, like, remember, in 2002, if you ran, your goal was getting to the 10s.
Was it?
Oh, yeah, okay. It's the time. But so just remember, guys, just look at technology.
Yeah.
In 2000s, early 2000s, 2005, you were a god if you ran a 10-second quarter mile.
Oh, yeah.
Tim, you were street racing in that time. You know, a 10-second street car?
Yeah.
That nothing,
no, nobody wanted
nothing
to touch
in the next
yeah.
10, 20 states is touching you.
Yep.
But now you have factory cars don't need roll cages anymore if they run like single digits. You don't need to do that.
Man, I remember in like 2001, I had a car that ran like 12.0. And
yeah.
like
oh, that,
I
that was
rarely,
fast.
I rarely ever lost a race.
Yeah. yeah.
Like I've lost way less than a handful of races back
yeah.
then.
Let's say
running
like,
12.0s.
And see that and that's what technology has come. Technology
yeah.
is getting crazier every day. The fact that we have a turbo that's this big that I can hold like this, that makes 500 horsepower or 600 horsepower,
mm-hmm.
depending on what you're doing. Back then, turbos this big couldn't make that.
Yeah.
HX35, HX40.
Those were
running.
This big.
They were this big.
Yeah.
And they spool like 7,000
yeah.
RPM.
Yeah.
And they make nothing.
But to add on to that, right before we get to the what are we doing this weekend, we've ran a 12.0 on a prototype Z04 that we hacked together. On
yeah.
a 1.4 liter front wheel drive car, and your DSM all wheel drive, like baller car. Running 12.0s was like, hell yeah.
That was.
Yeah. And now we got a little 1.4 that runs 10s.
Yeah, my Regal ran 12.0 on a stock engine with our Z3 swap kit at full weight.
Yeah, like imagine going back in time. Tires. Imagine going back in time with that Regal, full weight and everything.
Oh my
Tim's
god! Oh yeah!
Effort. Like Matt, the young Tim rolling B, up, coming up. He's like, Tim I'm gonna gap this thing. He gets gapped by a front drive Regal. Tim would sell that thing and sell his life right now.
My biggest thing ever is that I'm 20 years behind, because if I could have met Tim and Zoom and these guys. Yep. 20 years ago, oh my goodness.
Yeah,
Brett. Yeah, that's when I met those guys. It's been
more than 20 years now.
24-ish years ago, I met Matt and Zoom.
Dang.
Yeah.
Brett, patiently waiting for the Z04. That is great, because I think, like I told you in email, we got an upgrade coming to the Z04.
Yes.
And guys, everyone needs
we
it.
We know that you want them. We want them as much as you do. I promise it'll be worth the wait. Don't buy that other companies crap behind turbo
stock frame
slow turbo stuff. They won't even race any Z04 cars.
Z04s are weeks out, so we're like two to maybe 3-4 weeks out for the Z04, and it's new and revised.
Token black guy, you can't have two token black guys in the same room. That means we're not tokens. Anyway,
so I'll leave off one thing. I've let Tyler drive my car at Tail of the Dragon. And it was on a turbocharger, right?
I drove your car.
I'm pretty sure he got out with a mullet and sunglasses on, and he wouldn't have done that with a blower on the car.
Dude, you probably did go a mullet. No. Dude, the moose is...
I don't know if I've smiled that big.
Agreed.
In a long
The moose
time.
Is weird. It's different. It's
is
one of the
fantastic.
Only 3 to 4 300s in the world. In the world that I love.
Zoom, I Bill love Kish. That thing.
Four, Zoom, Bill Kish, and Matt's and yours. Like, that's pretty much it. That's the only 300 in the world I like.
I will say, I drove Bo's car at Tail of Dragon 2. It is a totally different kind of feel. Like,
oh my god,
I love my Sonic on tail. I love Bo's Regal on tail for two totally polar different reasons. Bo's car, you're just like, blom, 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 yep. Going fast.
Yep.
Yeah.
My Sonic, you're like,
what?
It's
driving it.
You're sawing and
You're 7,500.
Wait a second, guys. Token black guy's in Hideo. Yeah, he's the only black person.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
That's fair. Guys, it's 507.
That's 507. Boys, Ryan, start with you. What you doing this weekend?
Man, I don't know. I need to get out. I need to go have some food tonight. I don't know what I'm going to do. I want to take snow out today, but I brought wallpaper in for TJ who just came pick his car. But I brought it in because he... In case you wanted to see and all that stuff, that part, all the ATS is part together. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason I brought it. Otherwise, I want to drive snow. I also want to watch snow. I don't know what I'm doing. My life is in shambles.
You
want
to
go
get food tonight?
I might want to go get food tonight.
Let's go get food tonight. All right.
I might. I don't know. Yeah,
TJ even got the handicap spot as he's been on.
I can't believe you did that.
What do you mean? All the customers.
He's
going
to have to Photoshop that out of his photos.
Nah.
All right. I do want to shout out, guys. We had a customer, TJ Malakav, that came up today. TJ, it was fantastic meeting you. He was so infectious with his excitement.
What a good guy.
Just
what
the type of dude guy. That we do this for.
Yeah.
Like, this is
that
kind of guy who's so excited for his car. And
TJ has been excited for months. He is very pro us. Like, he knows he knows why ZZP is here. We're here to make people like him smile. Like, I get a lot. I'm in customer service, so I get a lot of people complaining and yelling and bitching at me and all that. But TJ today really turned my day around. Like, I've been getting yelled at. ARC-72 Gundam, excuse me. That's Gundam.
Thanks for stopping by, TJ.
TJ, we really appreciate
super
you coming
good.
Up, man.
Yeah. Super good to shake your hand, put a name to the face. I think we've definitely built a relationship for years
to come. I'm pretty sure his wife wanted to leave him here.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Dude, TJ would have been like, bet I will stay here.
He would have been fine with it. We would have been fine with it. Yeah. As, you know, that's kind of how it goes when you get involved with ZZP, is because Sarah would leave me here and I'd be.
Yeah. Right. All right.
If I didn't have Erica, I would be here all the time.
Yeah. It's guys, just, it bad. Was. It
you,
like
you get in the ZZP loop and the ZZP train and you start building cars and you basically have you have your pretty lady and you have ZZP, and that's about all you have time for. Yeah. It's about all you have time for.
Legitimately.
That's all you want time for anyway.
Yeah. Legitimately, TJ, it was fantastic meeting you today, man. We really appreciate you coming out and, you know, sharing your enthusiasm and your excitement. Yeah. You know, you're the reason why we do this. You know, we do this.
I mean, you're paying our paychecks.
That's it. That's it.
That's so it. We very appreciate that.
Hey, we're going. Yeah. Shout out to Nick LeClaire. Didn't even know you were tuning in, brother. We got a lift ready for your car on Monday. So
That's a goose with a bow tie. I don't know.
I know.
Nick.
I like
that's
that guy.
He's got hopefully a pretty clean 3800 we're going to be doing a cam install on.
Is it a good 3800? It's like turbo? What are we? No. Because we're talking supercharger.
I'm going to grab
he's on the supercharger team.
Nicholas Pellerin. 07 LSJ with 135. Brother, that is barely broken
that's
in.
Barely broken in. Especially
I didn't turbo our Black Ion until 235,000 miles, and it made 400 wheel, and the engine never broke. The transmission?
Brad Keys has the engine now.
Has the engine.
He does. You got the valve cover back.
I got the valve cover.
RX-72 Gundam. Email me, ryan.diaz@eperformance.com. Let's talk Gundam.
Oh, it's a 40th. Sweet.
Oh, my God.
Tyler's going to be – sorry if there's some drool marks from Tyler all over the car.
I do love
maybe me
a 40th.
Too, man.
Is it a two-door or four-door, brother?
Better be a two-door.
If
it's a two-door, Bo is not. You're not gonna be able to leave here with the car.
Two-tone interiors, freaking heat exchanger hood, like woo.
Yeah. I'll bring the GXP in next week when we get it buttoned up. We'll get some media coverage of it. It's gonna be killer.
Tim, what are you doing this weekend, brother?
I got F1 and Kentucky Derby.
Ooh.
Drew and Kelly invited my wife and I. I almost said the wife.
My love.
We're gonna have some partying and watching some horses races. Like,
all right, let's go, Lewis Hamilton. Like, let's go. You better clap. Clap for Lewis.
Science.
You're off the team next year, homeboy.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
You're off the team. Lewis Hamilton is Team Ferrari. You're gone.
Oh God.
You're going to somewhere else.
He's probably going to
know where
Red
I'm
Bull.
Going.
He's going to Red Bull.
I hope he goes Red Bull. That'd be cool.
You think he's going to overtake Ciso? I would hope so. I would love to see Sainz overtake over Ciso.
Yeah.
But
Ciso's podium him, though. He's podium a lot.
If he's because he's got the
fastest car. Yeah, I know he has a fastest car.
As soon as he loses the fastest car, like, he's going to be gone. He's going to have to retire.
Yeah,
I love it. We talking that stuff.
Anyway, sorry. Nobody cares about that.
You're fine.
Tyler, what are you doing?
I don't know.
I'm with Tyler.
I'm sure something is planned for us at some point this weekend, but definitely watching F1. Maybe washing the snowballed up, giving it a little detail. If
are we doing that this weekend?
Well, maybe we're doing that this weekend. I got.
I will.
I still have no idea.
If you can, that's my weekend. That's it. Like, I'm down. I will pay you money. Like, guys, Tyler Detailing Service. You never had nothing better. I said it. What I said.
We'll call it. You should call it Tyler's Touch.
Tyler's Touch.
TV Touch. TJ, we are glad you and your wife are happy. We really enjoy having you here, brother.
Kind of sounds like a weird massage parlor, though.
It does.
I don't know if I like that.
I'm in
right now.
I love the name. Let's
like,
do it.
You give extra, do we have to pay extra for that? I mean, I'm down. Whatever.
But what about you?
Oh, I got some uncle duties. I got a dance recital thing.
Oh, nice.
It'll be nice.
The Moose got a new windshield this weekend.
Yeah, Moose got a new windshield.
And Bo forgot about me again, but that's okay. That's I'm used to it.
Yeah. Got a dance recital thing, and then I got some soccer thing after that. You know, just being a good uncle. We'll take the Regal there.
All right, fifth person on the podcast. What are you doing this weekend?
Yeah, I got nothing cool. I got nothing cool.
Guys are being boring. We have
other than that, you know, just garage stuff.
Yep.
Cleaning up.
Garage stuff.
Washing stuff. Mowing the lawn.
A whole 5-quart jug of oil fell over in the garage, and the cap broke.
So
it's everywhere.
So
on
that topic,
I got kitty litter on it right now.
I had my track toolkit. Mm-hmm. When we got home from 131 opening day, mm-hmm. I was moving it around the garage. I spilled it. It sat on the garage floor until last weekend
because
I was so pissed at it. It fell over upside down, and I was like, oh,
you're staying there.
Oh, no. And it sat there for like 3 weeks. Sarah's dad came over. He's like, what's up with that? I'm like, I don't want to talk about it.
Hey, Bo, quick thing. I use Velcro cable ties on the handle of my Craftsman toolkit. So that doesn't happen.
Well, it didn't happen when I was carrying it. I was being a dummy and set it like on the edge of my bench. And
I'm saying that Velcro cable tie would have not let it happen.
Oh, wait. Velcro cable. Oh.
Oh yeah,
your cable ties. Like you wind up your coat and then you wind it and Velcro them.
Yep. This dude, Velcro cable ties and HP tuners clip things.
Dude, Tim does have like the little life hacks on.
He does. He does.
My man, Tim. He does have.
He doesn't have OCD until he has a lot of OCD.
It's the good OCD.
It's like
though.
An HX35. Nothing. Give it all, baby.
And on that note, we'll catch you guys next week. Thanks for joining us. Podcast 164 next week. If you ever have any ideas, nobody ever sends them in, but do. What do you want
Michael,
to talk
Michael, are we bringing back Radar Rides?
Yeah.
Marketing at ZZ Performance.
Radar Rides.
It's
send
my
us.
Fault. It's
send
my
us.
Fault.
I want to talk shit.
I need to get access to that email.
We'll catch you next time.
See you guys.
Have a good weekend.